the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Samantha Ryan, filling in for Gemma Gaudette. It's Idaho Matters. For some folks approaching, you know, age 65, it might be a time to retire, slow down a bit, spend time closer to home. But for Nevada rider Sean Griffin, that meant jumping on his bike, taking a 1,000-mile ride from Portland, Oregon to Jackson, Wyoming with his two sons. They went through the Cascades. They went the Tetons, the Sawtooths. They stretched their endurance and spent some family time together. And Griffin has put these experiences into a new memoir, River Ask Me Why, Into the West on Two Wheels. And he joins us now. Hi, welcome to Idaho Matters.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Samantha.
Yeah. How did this trip get started? What was the impetus for this?
Well, actually, a couple friends asked me to go on a bike ride, and they're old guys like myself into the West, and they joined us in Bend for 4 days of the journey. But as I thought about it more, it would have been a lot more fun to do this with my adult sons. And so I called them about a year before we left and said, you know, this is going to happen. Do you want to try and do this? They're both very busy. They have full lives like all of our kids, but they managed to shoehorn almost a month out of their lives and make time for this. And it was remarkable.
Wow. As you said, you know, that's not easy. Busy lives, lots to do. And you went 1,200 miles. I said 1,000, but I think it's closer to 1,200, right?
Yeah, it's 1,200. Yeah, it was actually over that, but we just got tired of counting.
How long did the whole journey take?
It took 24 days. We rested 5 of those, so we rode 19. We spent, well, I don't know, I think 11 nights camping and the others in a hotel. Some days we were just so beat up or the bugs were so bad, we couldn't camp. So we found a room. And many nights we were so lucky to find the last room literally in a town. We pulled into Stanley. And there was a big street concert that night, and we literally got the last room, and that was after 3 days of climbing, and we were just, you know, we were done. And it was a wonderful evening, and this little hotel had a hot springs right on the upper fork of the Salmon, so, you know, what more could we ask for? We woke up that morning and soaked and looked at the Tetons, and we felt like we died and went to heaven.
Wow, that's incredible. I was going to ask how hard this was. I mean, I can't pedal around the block. I can't imagine going 1,200 miles up and down these mountain ranges.
You know, it tested all of us. After about a week in the saddle, you kind of are used to the difficulty, but still, when you're going up mountains and you got to deal with everything else that's going on, and we were carrying our bags, so you know, we each had 40 plus pounds on our bike, and that. Depending on if we had a lot of water or food, it went up from there. You sort of have to work your way into it. It's not something you can do without training. We all trained for months before we left. And I wasn't as worried about all the issues that would come up with the ride as I was about their own safety. You know, I kept wanting to put them in this bubble of light so that they could be safe on the journey. And that's what I did. And I did it with my friends too. You know, the ride was challenging, every part of it. The last summit, which we unfortunately couldn't do today because it just washed away about 2 weeks ago, was Teton Pass.
Oh.
Teton Pass is like 10 to 10.5% grade. While that doesn't sound like anything, it was the steepest of all the hills we climbed, and it was the last day, and it was a bear.
We're speaking with author Sean Griffin, who's also the poet laureate of the state of Nevada, about his new memoir, River Ask Me Why, Into the West on Two Wheels. He's going to be talking about the book Saturday at Rediscovered Books in Boise. You mentioned Stanley and the Tetons. You had to have seen a lot of amazing landscape on the trip. What else stood out? What hit your heart?
Well, you know, the remarkable thing was we kept meeting people that asked us to take a left turn. My sons and I had spent a considerable amount of time planning the journey, mostly across highways 20 and 26 across the West, those small roads. But every time we got to where we thought we were going, someone would say, you know, well, maybe you ought to try to do this. And Rick Artinger, whom I'm sure you know, the former Nevada or Idaho Humanities Director, said to us in Boise, well, I really think, you know, you should look at the sawtooth, because we were gonna have to do like 25 miles on 84. And I just have got off another ride, and I actually did do 20 miles on another freeway in Wyoming. And it's just unpleasant. And we had no idea what that climb entailed, but we all sort of said yes. And every time we said yes to something that we didn't expect, the ride just got better. What you find out on a bike, because you really don't have many alternatives, is you just have to be willing. And if you are, you know, great things happen. I think it was the second day, third day, we were riding out of Newport, Oregon, and it was the blistering heat getting over the Cascades into Corvallis. And an old we just stopped one day to eat some lunch, and an old farmer looked at us and said, "You guys look awfully thirsty." And it gave us both these two, you know, huge glasses of ice water, and was as friendly as if we were his own children. And so that happened over and over again. We were in another little cafe up in Austin, Eastern Oregon, and the lady says, "Where are you going?" We said, "Vail," and she sort of stopped in her knowing way and looked at us and said, "You know, there's nothing between here and Vail," and she was absolutely right. And she went back into the kitchen and made us these huge sandwiches, because we would not have had anything to eat that whole day. And you know, that happened to us over and over and over. And those people saved our lives. You know, we'd have made it, but they made it more comfortable.
Wow. Okay, and all of this you put into the new book. You're going to come to Boise to Rediscover Books to talk about it. We've got a couple minutes left. Talk about the book and what you're going to talk about when you come.
Great. Yeah, I'm hoping to be there Saturday, 12:30 to 2, and hope I have enough books with me, and love to hear, you know, questions and thoughts from anybody that's interested. It really was a meditation more than anything, Samantha. We just tried to I tried to reacquaint myself with my adult sons. You know, when you're a father, you have one relationship with your kids when they're little, but they were both grown men. My younger was 30, and my older was 35. They had, as I said, you know, full lives, rich, full lives, great spouses. And so I just wanted the opportunity mostly to reconnect with them. It's also a meditation on the land, on water in the West, on what we've done to this place called the West, because I've lived here almost all of my adult life. And I've spent so much of my life writing and reading about it, and my peers have. And you know, when you see it on a bicycle, the West is just a different place. You drive through the West in a car, and it becomes a kind of a book of shadows. But when you're on two wheels, you see everything, and it really peels back the layers of all of the history here. You know, in the middle of the book, I read a lot to write this book, and Bill Kittredge, the former Montana writer, said about the West, you know, it's built on a history of conquest, and that's here. And so we just have to sort of take some time and sit with that, and to really understand it.
Wow. We've been speaking with author Sean Griffin, the poet laureate of the state of Nevada, about his new memoir, River Ask Me Why, Into the West on Two Wheels. He'll be talking about his 1,000-mile bike trip across the West this Saturday at Rediscovered Books in Boise. Sean, thanks for giving us a preview.
Oh, you're welcome. I really enjoyed this, and I so appreciate your time.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.